Hi everyone, my name is Jessica and I'm a master's student at Carleton University. As you can see, this research investigated the human dimensions of the shore-based shark fishery in Florida and is in collaboration with Carleton University and the American Shark Conservancy in Florida, along with partners in the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission, where we obtained our sample population. So what is shore-based shark fishing? It is a relatively low-cost mode of recreational shark fishing where anglers can access the ocean from beaches, piers, or bridges. In Florida, you need a shore-based shark fishing permit in order to participate in the sport, which requires the applicant to be over the age of 16 and complete an online course on best practices for shark fishing. This fishery does have regulations on prohibited and harvestable shark species. For example, the great hammerhead or dusky shark and others are prohibited from harvest and must remain submerged in the water at all times and be released without delay. Harvestable sharks, which include blacktip sharks, bull sharks, and others, may be harvested with a maximum limit of one shark per person per day, and there are certain gear restrictions as well. Many anglers practice catch and release with shore-based shark fishing, and there are currently no restrictions on the number of sharks you can catch as long as they are released. The sport is not strictly monitored, seeing as it mostly occurs on remote beaches and often late at night or early mornings when the beaches are less occupied. There haven't been many studies on the direct impacts of recreational fishing on coastal shark populations. It is assumed to be less threatening than commercial fishing, but there may still be some unknown negative effects, especially on vulnerable species such as great hammerheads who are sensitive to stress. For example, there have been a few reports of dead sharks washing up on the shores of Florida and some exposure of illegal activity from this fishery, such as landing prohibited sharks, which would be unhooking them outside of the water. This caught some attention for research and led to calls for increased management, which is where our study comes in. We designed a 40-question survey inspired by similar studies, which was then reviewed by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission and piloted with a few anglers. We then emailed the survey to 10,990 anglers who held a shore-based shark fishing permit. We sent one reminder email 2 weeks in, and the survey was closed after a month. We received a total of 1,895 responses and filtered them down to 856 active shore-based shark fishing anglers. The many responses we got that were removed were from anglers who stated they did not fish from shore at all. Understanding the angler characteristics can provide valuable information to managers. For example, our survey gathered information on angler composition, which can give a picture of who these anglers are in terms of skill level or fishing experience. Why they fish for sharks, which can provide insight on the relationships and interactions between anglers and sharks. Their opinions on shark conservation and management. Whether they are conservation oriented, or whether they believe more or less regulations are needed, etc., as well as sociodemographics of the fishery and even an approximation of the economic value of the fishery. Our survey also outlined the fishing habits and preferences of the anglers, which can be very useful as we can find out when they tend to fish, which species may be more heavily targeted and may therefore need more monitoring, and how many sharks are being caught. This data can be helpful to managers when making decisions, as they can account for what the anglers may want and incorporate that into their strategies. For example, our survey identified that the anglers want more educational opportunities on best and safe handling practices. Additionally, our responses showed that most of the anglers did not believe that recreational fishing negatively impacts shark populations. So perhaps incorporating possible negative effects of recreational fishing into these educational opportunities could be beneficial. That is about everything I have prepared for you. I won't go over the rest of the information that's on my poster, so I think I'll end it here. But if you have any other questions about anything that I talked about or anything on my poster, please feel free to ask. Thank you.